Welcome everyone. I'm very excited to welcome the artist Ashley Zielinski. Ashley is a Brooklyn-based conceptual, digital and mixed media artist working at the intersection of art, technology and mathematics. Work spans a variety of media and size using cutting-edge technology such as 3D printing and computer-guided laser cutting, and also plating gold, silver or copper to add weight and a unique finish and quality to the artworks. She is a graduate of the Rhode Island School of Design, and she is also the director of the Active Space in Brooklyn that rents out 47 studio to different artists. So hello, Ashley. Good to have you today.
Good to be here. Thank you for the introduction.
You're welcome. Be ready to have an overview of your work, and then we will have the chat and the discussion afterwards.
So this is my cue to share my screen. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right. So whenever I talk about my work, I really like to show this image just to put into context where I'm coming from, the time scale and everything that I'm working with. This is a photo taken by Voyager 1 in 1990 as it left the solar system. And it's showing that tiny little dot there is Earth. So that's where you are. That's where everybody who ever lived, everybody who ever will live is going to be right there, unless we go to Mars. So I'm thinking on this, like, this cosmic time scale, this universal time scale, and that's where the work begins. This was one of my first pieces, One in One Chair. It's a recreation of Joseph Kossuth's 1 in 3 chair piece, which is a chair, a picture of a chair, and a definition of a chair in a gallery space. And it questions the true nature of the object. What is the real object? Is it the chair? Is it the visualization of the chair, the idea of the chair? And I thought this idea was really strong. And thinking about it from a 21st century standpoint, I created One in One Chair, which is a chair how a human would see it, and also the computer code for the 3D file of the 3D modeled chair. So every file on your computer is made up of ones and zeros of binary code. So I 3D modeled the chair and then saved it. And then that file was then reverse engineered back into the code. And then I took the code and wrapped it around the chair. So in a sense, you're asking the same question that Kossuth asked in the 1960s, what is the real chair? Is it the chair as the human sees it, or is it the chair as the computer sees it? And so you can see this is a close-up shot of the hexadecimal. I'm actually using hexadecimal code instead of binary code. Ones and zeros, not as aesthetically pleasing and also extremely long. I've done a couple pieces on how dense code can be, how much code is actually in a file. So this is just a mathematic way of shortening it. It's also just more interesting to look at. So most recently, and maybe I can make this loop. There we go. When NFTs came into fashion, they're all the rage right now and nobody is talking about anything else. I decided that One in One Chair needed a new life as an NFT. I thought with all of these people talking about NFTs and questioning their value as art, is it real art? What is the art? What is the collector buying? It was only a natural progression for One in One Chair to become an NFT and ask that same question again. Pose it again in a form of digital art, referring to NFTs. So I actually minted One in One Chair, and I'm offering it on Foundation as a phygital, which I don't know if I dig that word, but that's what the community has landed on. It's a physical object and a digital object. So when you buy the NFT, you're actually buying the 3D printed sculpture as well. They come packaged. And this led me to a discussion of like how NFTs are useful in the art community. I've been using like putting my code in a code escrow for years now. When a collector buys physical work, they're also buying the 3D file, the code, and the idea just in general. And I don't think that anybody can truly own a piece of artwork without owning all three of these components. And so the NFT is just, I'm using it as like a digital provenance to authenticate the parts and the ownership of all three of those pieces, and also carbon offsetting them because it's terrible for the environment. Go to the next slide. There we go. So the creation of the chair led me to my reverse abstraction series, which is a series of mostly geometric forms that are in dual form. So it's the code for the object and on wrapped around the physical object. So they're self-referential and meta. The term reverse abstraction is a term used in art, as we know. Abstraction, the further away from realism you get. A Kandinsky is abstract, and it's not representative of anything real. But in computer science, it's also used the term abstraction. And it's used as a way to describe different layers away from machine code or binary code, how the computer thinks in ones and zeros. The further away from ones and zeros you get, they call that layers of abstraction. So I found that really interesting because it was a term also used in art. So I coined the phrase reverse abstraction because it's reverse for the computer and the human. To the human, the shape is real and the code is abstract. And to the computer, the code is real and the shape is abstract. So using that as my foundation and like my kind of language, I've created a bunch of these different sculptures. This one was made for the US consulate in Saudi Arabia, and going from 3D printing to this one is cast in bronze using a 3D printed process. And this one is laser cut aluminum and then welded together. But working digitally first allows you to switch mediums and switch scales pretty easily, which is one of the plus sides of working digitally. And so one of my criticisms while I was making these works was that they were very cold, and sometimes they even were called masculine, which I thought was funny. Because it's math and because it's science, people were saying, oh, it's not very human, it's not very endearing, and art needs to be softer and more humanistic. And my response to that was, these are the ones and zeros inside your computer. This is the code inside your body. This is your DNA. We're all made of code deep down, and we're not very different from computers. You can even hack your DNA now. You can use CRISPR. We're just a bunch of code deep down as well. And from that, my human code series was born. And these are portraits made of 3D scans of a subject. And then I take a cheek swab and I sequence their DNA and wrap their DNA sequence around the bust. And it's not the entire human genome. The entire human genome is really long, but we share most of our genetic information, not only with each other as humans, but with most mammals and even everything on Earth. So there's only 13 points in your DNA that make you an individual, that are unique to you. And so these are the 13 parts of your DNA, like your genetic fingerprint, basically, that's wrapped around the subject, the 3D scan of the subject. And working on from there, I made the Android series. And this series is combining my reverse abstraction series and my human code series. Because we're not so dissimilar from computers, and every day we become more and more machine, and every day machines become more and more human, it was only a matter of time. Like this really reminds me of like how people get their phone so close to their face. And I'm like, eventually it'll just merge, and we're working on technologies that will just merge us with our machines eventually. And then moving on to the Vitruvian woman, this is a life-size sculpture. So she's, I think, 5'7". I think she's my height. And she's a bunch of different 3D scans from women that I've scanned over the years. Some of the arms of scientists, entrepreneurs, like really cool women in my life, let me 3D scan them. And so I've cobbled her all together out of a bunch of different parts. And then I worked with the geneticist and we isolated the X chromosome, which is the chromosome that everybody has. Everybody's walking around with one of them, and women are walking around with two of them inside. It's a small piece of the X chromosome. Like I said, genetic information is very dense, as is computer code. So I couldn't possibly fit all of the genetic information inside the X chromosome onto the Vitruvian woman. But my goal is to do an exhibition with her. I also have laser cut paintings that go with her as well, and to fill a gallery with all of the information, which would have to be a large gallery, but yeah, you could do it. And so she's every woman, a Franken woman, cobbled together and then wrapped in the code that we all have inside of us. And it's an homage to women in science as well. The laser cut paintings that pair with her are recreation of Rosalind Franklin's images of the double helix, which she discovered but was not credited for because her research was stolen by Watson and Crick. And so I think it's a very tale as old as time, women's research not being credited. And also the Vitruvian woman being like X, and like having her have the double arms, creating the double X motif. And she's plated in copper, which I thought could tina nice over time, making her look old. And the project that I'm working on with Agora, or will be shortly, is a collaboration with NASA for the James Webb Space Telescope mission. I don't know how I get this to loop. Okay. So years ago, I was asked by NASA Goddard to create a work of art commemorating the James Webb Space Telescope. And how I did that was I went to NASA Goddard and actually got to see the James Webb Space Telescope, which has these gorgeous mirrors that are plated in gold. And I scanned the arms of the scientists on the project and then modeled them pushing through the main mirror array and wrapped in the metrics that were used to create the telescope. So John Mather, who is the scientist on the right, is a Nobel laureate. He finished Einstein's equations and proved the theory of the Big Bang. And those metrics were used in the creation of the James Webb Space Telescope. So pretty cool stuff. Amazing people. This is probably my favorite part of my job, is getting to meet the scientists and learn about what they're working on and make a piece of artwork with them. So I've already minted this piece that I made years ago as an NFT, and it's in a VR show right now. But what I'm currently working on with these scientists, they once again asked me to collaborate with them. They want me to make something to commemorate the launch, which is now happening in late October, hopefully. It got pushed back a lot. COVID was like not a good thing to happen. But now I'm working on a project with the scientists again. And this time I'm working with more of the scientists on the project from all different walks of life. I have engineers, I have like mission control, I have scientists that worked on different parts of them, like the thermal plating, just every part. I wanted to meet with as many scientists as I could, because the piece I'm making for the launch, I want to have more of a human aspect in it. I want to talk about the experiences that these people have had over the past decade working on this telescope and what this launch will mean to them. It's like a culmination of human effort and human collaboration. So that's the main focus of this piece that I'm making. And that's part of my residency, is working on bringing this piece to fruition. Right now, I've met with, I think, 20 scientists. I have a lot of research papers I need to read to be able to understand all their different parts. I asked them a lot of invasive questions about what brought them to the career, what they think is out there in space, why they think we're here on planet Earth. And yeah, I'm really hoping to make a piece that will do them justice and really commemorate the occasion that they should be very proud of. So yeah, Agora is helping me do that. And then other things that are coming up just on the side is, this is a sculpture that I made a long time ago, and I never really thought about it until now. I'm not really a sound artist, so I didn't know where it fit into my portfolio, but it's a recreation of a Robert Morris piece called Box with the Sound of Its Own Making. This is Cube with the Sound of Its Own Printing, and it's going to be shown at the Art and Science Museum in Singapore in an exhibition called Orchestral Maneuvers, curated by Adrian George. That's, I think, July. And they actually got the original Robert Morris piece on loan from, I think, the Met to sit alongside my cube with the sound of its own printing. And hopefully this video will work and you can hear the sound. So yeah, the original work of art was a lot of hammering and nailing. And there's a speaker inside each of the boxes that plays the sound of its creation. And I thought it was really cool. So I printed it in wood fiber, in wood filament, and recorded it being printed on a MakerBot, one of the earliest too. So, which make even cooler sounds than the printers nowadays, because they were so janky. So yeah, I'm really excited about this show. I'm excited about the work of art being shown alongside the original, because I like to do these reboots of old conceptual art pieces. It's an honor to be showing alongside one of the original ones. So I found that to be really cool. So look out for that in July. Okay. And then I'm also working with the Lady Tech Guild to do an all-woman NFT show. There's so many men in the NFT space and in the crypto space and in technology in general. And I feel like women sometimes feel intimidated in these environments. They don't know where to start. They think that maybe they're in over their heads. And the Lady Tech Guild is a place where women come to support each other and to teach each other new technologies, share jobs, share information. This photo is us. We travel to India and teach young women about new technologies. We also bring laptops and 3D printers and scanners and show them how to use them. And then we usually donate some type of software or technology to the school. I think this time we were donating Ultimakers. So yeah, we're not only teaching each other and helping each other here in the US, but we're also trying to reach out to other countries where women are more marginalized and help out and donate to them as well. So the NFT show, which will open this summer, I'm teaching start to finish all of the women in the group how to create an NFT and how to mint it and what the crypto market's like. And we're going to put on a great NFT show, really awesome artists in the show. And we're carbon offsetting everything. So it's a carbon neutral show and donating some of the proceeds to a cause in India since they've been hit pretty hard with COVID. So you can join Lady Tech Guild and we have a meetup group. We have, I think it's originally 8 founding members, and now I think our meetup group is up to 300 members. So it's really cool. We usually meet in person once a month here in Brooklyn, but COVID, we're doing it on Zooms now. Where's my last slide? Oh, I think that's it. But yeah, I think that's what I'm working on right now. And we move on to questions.
Yes, sure. Thank you so much for your...
Oh, one more thing. Sorry. I have 4 NFTs left on Rarible. They're pretty affordable. And the last 4 that I'm selling on Rarible are being, the proceeds are 100% of the proceeds are being donated to a charity in India that's helping get oxygen to people in need. There's an oxygen shortage and lots of people are on ventilators. Yeah, the last 4 NFTs, go get one. All the proceeds are being donated to COVID relief in India.
Great. Oh, I really love her. It's really impressive. Already in NFT, so I cannot imagine how it looks like, how great it looks if it's taller than you and taller than me.
Yeah, she's big. I wish I could show you. She's just over there taking up a lot of space in my studio. Okay. So I should stop screen sharing then?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, thank you so much for this wonderful presentation. I must say that when you apply for the residency, I immediately contacted you in a strange email, like I'm used to say, yes, I would like you to join. Not only that this project with NASA is super exciting, but as well so that your relationship with people can evolve over a decade. That's so impressive. And then the continuity as well of working with scientists, but as well astrophysicists and all those people involved in such a big project must be really exciting. I know you have lots of readings planned, so don't forget your paracetamol or something. And then I'm really looking forward to see what you are going to produce.
What form it's going to take. I have all these great video interviews with the scientists, so I'm like, maybe I want to make a video, maybe a sculpture video combination. I definitely have to do something in VR because I'm not sure if we'll be able to have an in-person exhibition or launch party. I know NASA wants me to do something virtual for their website. So look out for something also VR related.
Yeah. Exactly. The future is VR. Right. Yeah. Yes. The title of this talk is Digital Art for the Singularity. Coding the essence of humanity. Then I would like to ask you, what is our human essence and to whom would you like to transmit it?
Yeah, so I think art is what makes us human. It's such an extra thing. Animals don't do it. We're the only ones that are really doing it. And it distills down the ideas that we have and like the inventions and the creativity that we have. It's art is like the purest form of that. It's thought and it's beauty for the sake of thought and beauty. And so I think it's very important to translate that to or share that aspect of humanity with whatever comes next, which is why I like to show the image of the pale blue dot in the beginning. Lots of people don't like to think on that type of time scale. But like I said, when I'm collaborating with these scientists, especially at NASA, they think on a way bigger time frame than most people. Like even their projects take half a lifetime to come to fruition, all of these missions. Like the James Webb Space Telescope has been going for over a decade now. And that's just the fastest things move. But yeah, they're thinking on a cosmic timescale of we're just a blip in the universe. Humanity likes to be very egocentric and think of themselves as the center of the universe, but we're just not. We're just a happenstance blink of the eye. So making artwork to transcend humanity, I think is really important. And like pulling out, that's why I also reference art history a lot. These are ideas that are recycled again and again. Before Joseph Kossuth, it was Plato that was asking those questions. And I think that we're going to ask these questions throughout time, and they're always going to be relevant. So translating them into math, which is the language of the universe, and printing them in forms that will hopefully withstand what the future has to hold, or making them digital and then transmitting them into space. These are all things that I think are meaningful in communicating to whoever or whatever comes next. And when you don't know what that is, you have to find a language that they will hopefully speak, and that's math.
From what you show us, not only that you are extracting the code, but as well wrapping your artworks with the same code, is it important for you to play with this kind of dual form of already a concept? And then what I mean is that you deem you materialize into small and large scale 3D models, and then you dematerialize them into digital NFT objects. How do we say that? Tension between the material and immateriality important to your work?
Yeah, which is why I mentioned how I package them to collectors as well, is you're getting the material work as well as the immaterial work. I think the concept is just as strong as the physical object. I think that, and I think you need to have ownership over all of the parts in order to say that you truly own the work. It also helps if you break your piece, I allow you to reprint it, because I don't think the piece is just the physical object. So yeah, and it's this push and pull between the chair, or like when I do a portrait, it's you first physically, then I scan you digitally, and then I print you physically, and then I take your DNA physically, and then I sequence it digitally, and then I put it back on physically, and then you're also an NFT digitally, and you're also a 3D file and code and all that stuff. So it's going back and forth, and it's like blurring that line between asking the question of what's the real art, and I think it's all of the pieces combined.
In the wonderful article about this talk written by Gabriella, she talks about coding that you use as poetry. Do you agree?
Of course I agree.
Could we consider that the NFT's objects are in fact not how to get rich soon, yeah, and sell it, but could we push the boundaries forward to say maybe NFT's objects are in fact digital objects performances?
Yeah.
Could we do?
Of course, I think code is poetry. And I think we all have to believe that code is poetry, since we're all made of code and would like to think of ourselves as poetry as well. I think the NFT as a performance is an interesting thought. Like you said, with the get rich quick scheme, I think that's a thing that's happening right now. I think it'll fall out of fashion, or like at least level out at some point. And we'll be left with, how are we going to work this into an art practice or the art world and have it hold value on a more permanent time scale? And I think it will. I think it has a place in the art world. And I really like that it allows purely digital artists a platform to share and sell their work, because that was very difficult before. But yeah, I think once the shine comes off a little bit, we'll have to decide where it's placed, like where it fits. And I've been through this before with 3D printing. That was like the hot new technology of 10 years ago, and the mistake of putting myself at the forefront of that and fighting for that technology. And I feel like some of the same criticisms we're getting with NFTs, I've heard that before with 3D printing years ago. 3D printing had got a bunch of flack for being, how do I know you're not going to print more of these? And I was like, how are you sure a photographer isn't going to print more of these? These are the same questions over and over again. And I don't know why every time we come up with a new technology, we're asking the same stupid questions. Of course, it'll shake out in a way that's meaningful. But yeah, and then there was like the, would you 3D print a gun? Are you going to print more of these? Is 3D printing art? It's made of plastic and that feels cheap, which I don't know why people focused on that. 3D printing as a material is extremely expensive. Yes. Just because it comes out as plastic means nothing. It took a lot of money to get that plastic to where it is. Yeah, so when I heard a lot of the criticisms of NFTs coming out and some of the same questions that I was hearing about 3D printing, I was like, I've been through this before. I know how to answer these. So yeah, and I think just like 3D printing, it found its place and everybody figured it out. And now nobody thinks about it. Now when I go to shows and I say, oh, my artwork's 3D printed, everybody goes, oh, okay. And that's it.
So you think that in a couple of years, everyone will be at ease with NFTs and consider fully the potential, not only of collecting those unique works of art, but as well supporting the artist creating them.
Yeah, and I think there will be a market for that, and I think we'll figure out the right way. It just takes time. It's a new technology. We're all figuring this out at the same time. You're seeing it live. It's happening in front of your eyes. So yeah, is it going to be perfect right off the bat? No, we're going to have to figure out, you know, how to deal with the environmental impacts, how to sell them, where to sell them, how to collect them, what it means. But all of that will be sorted out. And in a couple of years, we won't even think.
It would be natural. Everyone will have their... Okay. And talking about the blockchain and NFTs, well, as we mentioned, and you said making things digitally, technology constantly evolving. Is blockchain or the decentralized technology really forever? Are you backing up your works, or just in case, then another form than an NFT?
I think platforms are coming up. Like I said, this is something that will eventually shake out. But until that moment, or probably, I don't know, I'm like a backer-upper of all things. All my files backed up in several places and under several different passwords. So I'm always probably going to be paranoid and keep all of my work under my own personal lock and key, both in the cloud and physically, to ensure the work is safe. What happens after I'm gone, I don't know. I will have to figure out a way to make sure that it stays safe without me. And hopefully the technology will evolve in a way that makes that easier. But yeah, I'll back things up until I see something different, until I see a more concrete, safer way.
Is there anyone would like to ask a question about, oh yes, you mentioned that you were working with the Lady of the Guild, and so you're preparing the shows. Is it important for you to train, as you mentioned, we know that the NFT world is a little bit machist, to train women? And is it that complicated to mint works of art?
No, it's not. No, I'm not an NFT artist. There are people that have working in this field way longer than me. I basically just did a crash course 1 week and just Googled and did research and minted my own NFT. And once I realized that it wasn't that hard, but I remember how overwhelmed I felt in the beginning of my research, and I just wanted to share that with other women, that it seems daunting. It seems like a lot of effort, like a lot of new stuff, new complicated stuff to learn. And maybe that turns people off, and maybe then they don't want to. Also, all of this crazy news about NFTs, and they don't know what to believe. Are they bad for the environment? Should they be doing this? And I figured it out, and I'm just going to share my knowledge. This is the way you do it, and this is the right way to do it. And I'll just use my format, and I just share it with the women around me, or any woman that asks, to try to get more voices heard.
Perfect.
Because it's not, they're like, women are making really cool stuff, and they deserve to have a voice in this medium as well.
Yes, I look forward to, well, we will keep in touch, of course, because of the NFTs, but also your forthcoming exhibition. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the exploration project and what you... Ashley is very open to help any women having difficulties in NFTs and minting. And probably we are going to do a little workshop together in June. So stay tuned, and you will be trained by Master Ashley. And
I'll Google it for you. I'll figure it out.
Yes. Thank you then, Ashley, for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, anyone, for joining us. All right. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.